it's the Ken Dodd Show, and here he is, the star of the Ken Dodd Show, Charlie Stride.
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you, Charlie Stride fans! It gives me great pleasure to be standing in this big hole. And now, I will climb out wearing the regalia of the president of the British Nudists Association. Stop all this hero worship. It's unhealthy. In honor of the occasion, I will now shovel this barrel load of hot semolina pudding down the back of this old man's trousers. And now, wearing this woman's frock and a fireman's helmet, I will lift this elephant up with one leg. And it's very difficult to get one-legged elephants these days. I will now lie on me back, rub me knees together, and set fire to me clogs. I will now whistle a dirty joke. And now, with the aid of my beautiful red-headed assistant, I will now swallow this drum and beat it. Oh. Have they all gone? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, for all those of you who missed it last week, here is the story so far. I love you, said Simon, gazing into the mirror. Poor Helen's eyes were filled with tears as the steamroller went over her bunion. Undisturbed by all this, the aged Dowager Marchioness continued her campaign for free fried bread for the over-90s. Nigel held Felicity in his arms. His heart pounded with excitement, and the blood raced through his veins. Felicity, he gasped. Yes, Nigel, she panted. I've swallowed a bucket, he said. Oh, she said, putting 2 gallons of water in her hat. I thought you'd gone a little pale. Where are they now? In which listeners write in to ask about old acquaintances. A 78-year-old listener, a Mr. Richard Duckett, he was an air raid warden during the last war, writes in to ask, whatever became of Ginger Dunn, a companion who shared with me the long watches in many air raid shelters? Well, Mr. Dickie Duckett, regarding Ginger Dunn, she's still going strong. She now owns a corset factory in Oldham. Another letter here from the Commissioner of Inland Revenue, who asks, where the hell's Joseph Locke gone to?
I say, are you there?
Yes.
Which is the best way to peel?
Start with your singlet.
I dropped it.
I tell you what, I'm going to do something now that I've always wanted to do. I'm going to knock on the door of this foreign embassy and ask for political asylum. I can no longer accept the capitalist's way of life. Can I come and live in your country?
Well, now look you back. We got enough troubles of our own.
Is it? Is it? Yes, it is! It's me old friend.
Oh, my buddy wee laddie.
Alma Cogan.
My name is wee Hamish Laurie. Wee Johnny couldn't get here.
Good gracious me, you're very alike.
Well, I were.
It's amazing that two people could be so ugly.
Like my brother wee Johnny, I'm also a much loved and respected Scottish actor of many years standing and...
This should be good.
And 1963 Invercockylicky prune-eating champion.
Are you? Really? Aye. Well, it may surprise you to learn that I happen to be the 1963 Notty Ash prune-eating champion. Can I borrow your motorbike?
Well, what do you know?
Do you know that an American train driver once held a top note for 2 minutes after a jet of steam had shot up the leg of his overalls?
Well, what do you know?
Do you know that in Holland you're not allowed to do a clog dance on an empty stomach? I'm not surprised.
Well, what do you know?
Do you know that the idea for the yo-yo came to some man who tripped over the landing and got his braces caught in the banisters?
Well, what do you know?
Here is an unusual recording of a hen laying a theatre organ.
Well, what do you know?
Okay, we've finished that bit now.
Well, can I announce our guest for this week, then?
Well, what do you know?
How many times do you want telling? We've finished it. It's all over. It's the end.
Well, all right. All right. But heavens above, anybody can make a mistake. I'm only flesh and blood. He's drunk with power.
Well, I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have lost my temper like that. Well, I won't do it again.
You promise?
I promise. Now, come on. Let's have a nice, big smile.
You're very well.
Is that supposed to be a smile? Haven't you got horrible teeth?
Oh, you beast! Fancy saying a thing like that to me. Drunk! Drunk with wine!
I don't care. It's my birthday.
Perhaps now I can introduce our musical guest for this week. You probably know him better as a rascally old dealer in scrap iron. But there's more than one side to this very welcome visitor. Step forward, please, Mr. Steptoe Senior, alias Wilfred Bramble.
Second hand, second hand. I never had nothing. Second hand, second hand. But what's a bloke like me to do? Me hat's come from a lady down in Aldgate. My boots I found while going down the street. You may not quite believe me, but it's true, mate. Everything I own is second hand. In Savile I found me blinking roses. Me spotted bow, it come from Waterloo. Yes, off me wardrobes from exclusive places. But nothing what I own is spanking new. Even my own missus, bless her, she was grand. She showed me what bliss is, but even she was second hand. I'm worn and weary, but I'll have you all know. And I don't care what people choose to say. There's something in this world that makes me heart glow. Every day I live's a brand new day. Nothing second-hand about me. Nothing second-hand about each lovely day. Come on, lad. Work to do. Yep.
Thank you very much for coming, Mr. Stepson.
Yes, Steptoe. Yeah. Hey, where do we get the money off?
Money? You mustn't use language like that round here. This is the BBC. Anyway, I'm afraid we don't handle that filthy stuff on this show, but...
Yes?
Just for you, and as one rag and bone man to another... We've had a bit of a whip round, you see.
Yeah, I should think so, and all. I've got a growing horse to feed. How much did you get?
Well, as I said, we've had a whip round, and I've got two pairs of socks off Paul Fennahoolahet, and a tatty kilt off wee Johnny Lorry. Wallace Eaton's given us this army overcoat of his, and young Peter's offered half a T-shirt. Any good?
Yeah, smashing. I'll be able to buy a new nose bag for Harold with this lot. Cheerio, then, Ken.
Tatty bye, Mr. Steptoe.
Hello, all you do-it-yourself dog lovers.
This is your old pal, Alsatian. This week, I'm going to show you how to build a kennel, rather like the one here, which I built for the wife's mother. You can just see her curled up in the straw. She's what they call a wired herd nagger. I won't let her in the house without a muzzle. I think the world of my dog. Many and many a time I've come home from work at night, fed up and miserable, and the little fella's known. You know, he's known. And just to try and cheer me up, he's bitten the wife for me. He was a lovely little thing, Patch. I called him Patch because he had a patch over one eye. He kept walking into lampposts. But we'd better get on with the job here now, hadn't we? By the way, with the colder weather just around the corner, you can, if you wish, buy one of those little indoor trees. Now, I'll soon have this kennel finished, and then we'll pop Rover in and see how he likes it. If he likes it, I may let him have it on a 5-year leash. Yes. Now, he should feel quite at home here. I've hung a picture of Percy Edwards up just inside the entrance. There we are, a kennel that any doggy can be proud of. Come on, Rover, in you go. Oh, hello, boy. I'll show you how to make a cat basket. Well, first of all, you see, you need a bundle of canes and a strong cup of glue. I think I'll go and have a word with that constable on point duty over there. Good consternoon, Afterball.
Not now, sir. I'm very busy trying to keep this traffic moving at this road junction.
No, yes, sir. I can see that, Constable, but I just wanted to say thank you.
What for, sir?
Well, for all the wonderful work you do here directing all this traffic, Constable. Thank you, Constable.
Oh, how very thoughtful of you, sir. And every day a member of the public takes the trouble to pay us a compliment.
Well, I've taken the trouble, Constable, because I think you do a wonderful job, Constable.
Yeah, thank you again, sir.
Yes, a wonderful job, no matter what the motorists call you behind your back.
Constable. How do you mean, sir?
Well, you know, the names they call you from the safety of their cars.
Names, sir?
Well, you know, Kipperback. I mean, that's not very nice, is it? Kipperback, that's a very common name for a constable. I've also seen them glance at your feet and say, I wonder if he has to pay ground rent.
They don't.
I'm afraid they do, Constable. And they gesticulate behind your back.
Gesticulate, sir. That's not very nice of them, is it? After all, we're only doing our job.
Yes, well, if I was in your position, I'd soon get my own back on them.
It only means, sir, in my position.
Well, you direct all the traffic, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, if you were to give a few wrong signals...
Why not? Why not, indeed? Kip her back, eh? Come on! Come on, all of you! Sort that lot out! Come on!
He's a wonderful conductor.
A genius.
It's amazing when you realize he's completely deaf in both legs.
Good heavens.
He was in the conservatory for 2 years.
Poor chap. What a terrible strain that must have been for him.
He matriculated when he was 17.
Musicians. They're all the same.
He's always going into hospital for manipulative treatment.
He would.
His wife. His wife's a soroptimist.
And doesn't he do anything about it?
I don't think he knows. His mother used to go around dressed up as a woman.
What pleasure do they get out of it?
His father's a B.A.
Is he the swan? I can't stay here and listen to him now after what you just told me. I'll have to leave.
I'll come with you, Auntie.
Oh.
If you'll take a seat, your ladyship, we'll bring him in to you.
Thank you, Wardo. Oh, what a dreadful place this is.
This way. I can only let you have a minute, so keep it short.
You're but my dear boy.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, you poor boy. You're looking so pale. Your face has gone little. How are you?
Not too bad, considering, Mother.
Are you getting enough to eat, dear?
Yes, thank you, Mother.
Oh, my poor darling. Seeing you here like this is most distressing.
Time's up. I'm sorry. Come along, Hubert.
Oh, can't we have a little longer?
I'm afraid not, your ladyship. Anyway, you'll be seeing him again quite soon. How long have you got left to do?
Well, I've got a 5-year stretch. I should be out of this nick in about 18 months. Poor Hubert, all on his own, the poor little darling. His face has gone.
This is Radio Buxom Girl, your friendly station. Radio Buxom Girl, your station of the stars, bringing you the top flops in pops on 208 motorcycles. And this is your awfully friendly best friend, Ari Baldis. Radio Buxom Girl, you're stationed on the stairs. This is Gary Baldy, your DJ. DJ, dirty jokes for the next 15 minutes. Your next 5¾ minutes entertainment is sponsored by Horace Catchpenny, your pools expert. Let Horace select your draws for next Saturday. They won't let you down. This is what one client said after a lifetime of using the Horace Catchpenny's pool system.
Have you got any stale bread, please?
The next 15 minutes, or a quarter of an hour if we're lucky, is brought to you by Stingley's, the makers of the new aftershave lotion called Yikes! The only aftershave lotion that contains creosote. Remember, creosote keeps tomcats off your chin. The new aftershave lotion, Yikes! We'll make a man of you. After only one whiff of Yikes, Susan Morm sang,
I am a mole and I live in a hole.
Radio sticks on there, broadcasting on a network of 208 tickles. Your friendly station. Girls, use Wacka Lacka. The new hairspray made from the blossoms of the exotic scouse bushes that grow along the sun-drenched banks of the Costa Mersey. The other day, we overheard this conversation between two teenage girls.
Have you tried it yet?
Tried what, kid?
Wacka Lacka. It's not like other lacquer. When I sprayed it on the mirror, there wasn't a trace of it.
So remember, if you want the mirror in your room to disappear, buy a bottle of Wacka Lacka. And now, here is a typical teenager.
Stick 'em up. This is a 45.
What are you going to do with it?
Play it. It's a record of Ken Dodd singing One Rose.
I give one rose to my Valentine. One rose every day. Every petal velvet soft and fine tells her how I love her in its own sweet way. And how many times I think of her in a day. She loves roses when she knows they're mine. She hears what they say. And as long as one rose grows upon a vine, I will love her more and more each day. She loves
those roses when she knows they're mine. She hears what they say, and as long as one rose grows upon a vine, I will love her more and more each day. I will love her more and more each day. More and more each day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stand well clear, because we're presenting once again the world's worst. Those men who could never do a thing right. Men like Dodo, the world's worst contortionist.
First, me left leg round the back of me neck. Now, me right leg round the back of me neck.
Or Dickie Dodsbury, the world's worst train spotter.
That's a beautiful train.
And this gentleman wearing the beautifully fitted tights is Robin Dodover, the worst ever ballet dancer. And dusting the trail dust from his 10-gallon hat comes Cheyenne Doddy, the world's worst cowboy.
If anybody in this saloon thinks that he's quicker on the draw than me, he'd better go for his gun. What's the matter? Can't you take a joke?
Now meet Artie Dodinger, the world's worst forger.
Excuse me, could you change this £3 note for me, please?
Who else could follow that? Only Professor McManiac and his useless assistant.
I am the useless assistant. My story this week begins shortly after Professor McManiac had just tried out his latest invention, a hat ejector. And we were both on our hands and knees in the back garden looking for his head.
Have you found it yet?
Here it is.
Oh, that's a turnip.
Won't it do for now?
Certainly not.
I've found your head, Professor.
Ah, oh, good man. Ah, oh, that's much better. Now, where are we up to with our scientific inventions?
Well, I've been inventing some new toys.
Such as?
This repeating gun. It fires radishes and pickle onions. And then there's this talking doll. You turn it upside down and it says, hey, what's the game?
Anything else?
Well, there's this labor-saving gadget for the kitchen. See, it works off remote control, and it'll save the busy housewife a lot of walking backwards and forwards to the pantry.
How does it work?
I've got this one wired up to the pantry at the back of the laboratory. I'll just turn the dial to sausages, and you'll see what'll happen. There we are.
Now what?
Listen. I'll just melt some fat in the frying pan. They should be outside the door any second now.
Sausages.
Now, watch them throw themselves into the frying pan.
What a wonderful invention. Have a Nobel Prize.
No, thank you. I'm driving. Have you got any inventions as good as that one, Professor?
How's this for an all-night burner?
Professor.
Norma.
Now, do you want a ticket for our staff dance?
Staff dance? When?
In 2 seconds from now. One, two.
Wonderful. May I?
I'm waiting for a friend.
Oh. Please.
Oh, very well, then.
The professor is wearing a ginger overcoat, purple gaiters, and mauve carpet slippers. His useless assistant looks enchanting as he glides across the floor in an organdy singlet. centrally heated plus fours, tin socks, and open-necked Wellington boots.
Do you come here often?
Only after a blow on the head. Get off!
To business. What new invention are we working on this week?
A new slimming method.
Oh, what is it?
Sit on this bacon slicer. No, you can now slim the easy way with these reducing garments.
What are they?
Plastic nightshirts. You put one on before you go to bed and lose weight while you sleep.
Oh, we might as well try them now. It's time for bed anyhow.
Good idea. Before you don that plastic nightshirt, you better put some little holes in it so your legs can breathe.
I have done. I am no ignoramus, sir. How do I look in my plastic nightshirt?
How do I look in my plastic nightshirt?
Most becoming, fatty.
That's only puppy fat. I must stop eating them. Right. Let's climb into bed, and I'll set the alarm clock for 7 o'clock.
Huh. I don't think we've ever slept together before, have we?
No, I don't believe we have.
My name's McManiac.
How do you do? I'm your useless assistant. Now, where's my torch?
Torch? What do you want a torch in bed for?
Well, look. Only in case I can't sleep. Then I'll switch me torch on and go under the blankets and pretend it's a smuggler's cave.
Not while I'm in the same bed, you don't.
It's smashing. I'll put the green colour on and then your legs will look like two little giddy sticks of celery. Very well, then. Good night, Professor. And when we wake up, we'll know whether these reducing garments are a success or not. You don't snore, do you?
Certainly not. Do you?
Good heavens, no. Good night.
Good night. Let's hope this experiment's a success.
Say, are you there?
Yes.
Can you show me the way to Peebles?
Certainly not. Go and ask your father. Tutty bye, everybody.
That was the English version of The Ten Dog Show. Also translating, you heard John Laurie, Percy Edwards, Peter Hudson, Wallace Eaton, Wilfred Bramble, and Judith Chalmers. The BBC Variety Orchestra leader, John Jezzard, conductor, Paul Fennelly. The script was written by Eddie Braben and Ken Dodd, and the show, which was recorded, was produced by Bill Worsley.